Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos. But that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I am riding high off of a WOS screening yesterday.
We did indeed.
So episode one. We're embargoed. We can't go into details.
But because this episode is coming out on a Saturday, in just a few hours' time, you will actually get to hear our thoughts on it, because you're going to get a bonus podcast that's going to be released about 6 p.m. UK time, which will be just after World of Sports finished, and we'll have a review of the first episode and our thoughts about the show itself.
So if you're in the UK, watch it on ITV1 at 5 p.m. If you're abroad, I'm sure Daily Motion has a version for you eventually.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there'll be some way for you to find it.
Yeah.
And let us know what you thought of it. We're going to have a review episode, a bonus podcast that'll be coming out today.
Mm. But just like a quick summary. Bloody exciting.
Yes.
Bloody exciting for British wrestling.
Absolutely. What do you got planned for the weekend?
My lady partner is working all weekend. I've got a 10K. Oh my God, I've got a 10K on Saturday morning.
Have you?
I forgot about that.
Well, it's good you've just remembered now.
Well, I kind of periodically remember every 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
And it shocks me. And I'm like, I've got a 10K.
On Saturday morning?
Saturday morning.
That's
round the velodrome. Not round the velodrome. Of course, that's the bike place where the floor is sloped to allow bikes to go round quicker for the Olympics. So I don't think I'll be running round that.
No. That'll
be dangerous.
Sort of like a 45 degree angle.
No, I'm not running that fast. Maybe get behind a few people in those things.
Slipstream.
Yeah, very carefully try and go round them for ages. Oh, no, I'm going.
But that would give you a boost, like Mario Kart, right? If you get behind someone, you get a bit of a boost when you overtake them.
Yeah, I'm hoping to pick up quite a lot of weapons as I run around.
Yeah, banana peels would be very good during a running race.
I just want the big bullet.
That carries you a long way.
I'm just going to hang out at the back until I get the bullet. Or the star.
Right, before we can carry on.
What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, my parents and my in-laws and me and my wife are all going out for dinner. Because my parents are moving soon. They're moving halfway up the country to Herefordshire. So this will be like the last time that the sort of six of us are all going to be very close, like in the same town. So we're going out for a nice meal, and I'm picking them up on the Saturday and taking them over to my in-law's house. We're going to open up like a bottle of bubbly before we head off into town and things like that sort of. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Also, I mean, this is kind of like tomorrow, Friday/Saturday as well.
because my parents are moving, they've got all of my stuff still from when I was at university.
Oh, yeah. And you're a hoarder.
I'm a bit of a hoarder. 45 boxes worth of stuff.
Jeez.
That I've got to go through and start sorting out. A lot of stuff I'm going to kind of like separate up and just take it down to CEX and just get some money for it, you know, just cash it in. Some of the stuff I want to keep, some of the stuff I want to take back to my current house. But my parents have very kindly offered that whatever I can't take, they're just going to take up to their new place and I'll just pick it up at some point.
That's going to be harder.
Well, it is, but I'm going to go see them anyway. So sometimes I can just pick stuff up and take it back. I mean, like, the majority of the stuff that I've got, our house isn't big enough for it. So it'd be for when we have our forever home, when we buy our next house. And I've got more space.
Come on, man. We're adults now. We can't store stuff at our parents' places.
Of course you can.
We're adults. My stuff's all gone.
Yeah.
Didn't even tell me. Went back one weekend and I can't remember how. Oh, they gave a load of my old Star Wars toys to my sister's boyfriend's son.
Nice.
And
I mean, not nice.
A load of stuff they just threw away.
Well, see, my mother, she told me a story that, like, they had some family friends that were kind of helping them sort through stuff. And, like, they were kind of, like, piling stuff that's mine into a specific corner because that's where I'm going to go through and start sorting stuff out. And they pick out, like, all of my real Ghostbusters figures, like the firehouse and stuff. And they'd be like, oh, is this going over? And I was like, no, that's coming with us.
Yeah.
Although it is, it's Luke stuff, but that's coming to the house with us.
So you've got the Luke pile, I guess. What about your brother? Is that a smaller pile?
He's already taken his stuff because he's moved into his house now.
His forever house.
No, it's not because they're still renting.
Then.
But this is... their house, despite the fact that they are renting, is so big. It's massive. And they're getting it at such a good rate that he's got the space that he can take all of that sort of stuff.
But it's in Wales, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
They just give out houses there just to get people to come over.
I think so. But anyway, they've got a lot of space there. Whereas I don't really have that in my two-bed maisonette. But anyway, I've got to give you a quick Patreon poll update.
Okay, here it is.
Now, bearing in mind...
Well, do you not want to do this in the outro because you tease it in the show?
Oh, that's true, actually. Yeah, so maybe we'll do it in the outro instead. Mm. Yeah, good shout. So in which case, then, I'm going to read out a quick bit of correspondence before we get into the show. Would you like a Rusev Hay?
I would, but just to peel back the curtains, this is one of the first days that El Fakador has been in for a full day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually he'd just come in. He's just doing a little thing. usually he'd just come in, shoot the news, say some cool lucha stuff, and flip.
Yeah.
Flip all the way back to the tube station. But no, we're in here doing the ramble and he's in the other room as we can see him through a window.
He was editing and watching NXT, which was a massive distraction for me while I was watching.
Yeah.
Because I could see him watching the Ciampa Aleister Black match.
He's doing a thumbs up. I think he's saying the NXT episode was good.
Oh, okay, cool. So it was good.
And now he's just, is that a middle finger? I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
Is he putting on a Cultaholic t-shirt?
I don't think it's... He's trustworthy.
He's so trustworthy.
He's trustworthy.
I'll give you a quick Rusev Hey before we get into the main show. Hi, guys. Keep up the good work. My story starts when there were free tickets for the first televised episode of Five Star Wrestling, so I got to go with my parents and saw my two favourite wrestlers of all time, Rey Mysterio and John Morrison. So the whole story is who will win the tournament to face John Morrison for the Five Star title. I actually watched this because it was on Spike.
Five? Well, yeah, not Five Star.
Yes, you're right. It was on Five Star, yeah, which I think they then renamed to Spike, it might have been. Something
yeah,
like
so
that,
we've
yeah.
been pushing. I mean, the WOS stuff. If you think it will be the other one, this WOS is the production quality is considerably higher.
Yeah, and there's probably more people.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah,
definitely.
Rey eventually wins. Spoilers, and they have a great match working over each other's injuries. The match ends, and John is walking up the ramp. So I rush and I pat him on the back and I say, "Hey, good match." He turns around and says, "That's what we do." And I realize that I just spoke to him. I fall off the stage in awe and I hurt my back. it doesn't sign off in that one, but it's from football and WWE Supercard Crazy Plays.
Nice. So, that's a weird given name.
Yep. Parents just really, really into WWE Supercard, I guess.
I think it's sponsorship. You can get a sponsored child.
We've got another quick Rusev Hey here from Christopher Hale. Good afternoon, Ollie and Luke. And it is actually the afternoon they're recording this. Bloody hell, it's 3:30. Good afternoon, Ollie and Luke. This is my first email as a member of the SWAT Nation, and I am a big fan of the show. My Rusev Hey involves Robbie E of Impact fame, and whom also had a tryout for the WWE Performance Center recently. And I think he's one of the ones that they... they're signing up, really, the ones who were like, he did good.
Well, he's very good all round.
Yeah, the boy done good. This was a couple of years ago when he was performing at a local indie show in Whitehall, New York. Oh, man, you live in New York. It's the coolest place. He was signing autographs for fans, and one fan in particular had special needs and was visibly nervous and excited to meet a real-life wrestler. He was fumbling his words and seemed very shy. Robbie E. then rolled his eyes, was shocked, and I was shocked that he was like this to a fan, let alone a young fan with special needs. Irritated the events that went on before my eyes, I was next in line to meet, and he reached out to shake my hand, and I looked him in the eye and told him he was a dick, and I walked away. Luckily, wow. Donovan Dijak was at the same show, and he was more than happy to sign a picture for me and sell some merch. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. From the Green Mountain State, Vermont. Oh, you're not from New York, you're from Canada. But yeah, Robbie E. acting like a little dick.
Well, so the younger chap went to get something signed, and Robbie E. said no.
Robbie essentially rolled his eyes at him.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame. You know, sometimes these, they're not all Rusev Hayes are happy stories.
Yeah, they're Rusev unhappies.
Unhappied.
It's the best I can think of.
In all fairness, Rusev Hay is very much just something that we...
No, Rusev Hay's great.
If you say so, man.
I mean, let's not judge Robbie E, because, you know, there could be many reasons why he could have seen something behind the person happen, and that's why he rolled his eyes.
Maybe. Absolutely maybe. But yeah, so that's what we got time for the intro portion of this show. We will be back after this episode where we're talking about Chris Jericho going to Impact Wrestling. We're also going to talk about Matt Riddle and those WWE rumors. Andrade Cien was getting a big push off that AJ Styles match, just like I predicted he would.
Jesus.
And we've also got your shout-outs, crap gimmicks, and mailbags. Enjoy the show.
Well, today we're starting with what I think is one of the larger news stories of the week, because usually these sorts of things are quite speculative or just wrestlers teasing stuff on social media. But there's too many things in place here, particularly the events at Slammiversary. I think that's the real telling sign. Well, this could actually happen. So it's Chris Jericho, of course. He has appeared for WWE this year at Raw 25 and the Greatest Royal Rumble. Pretty sure those are the only ones.
I think it's just those two.
And he's also wrestled for New Japan. He did Alpha versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Then he set up the Naito match. He is the current IWGP Intercontinental Champion.
It's easy to forget that fact.
Hmm. He won't be around for quite some time, I don't think. But he's said in interviews in the past, this is stuff in Japan. I would never do anything in North America out of respect for Vince McMahon. He has a tremendous amount of respect for the man. This is, you know, you can read his books. He's the man who brought him in, saved him from WCW. Not always smooth sailing, but by and large, he's got an enormous amount of respect for him. So he wouldn't, what he sees as... go against Vince on Vince's North American territory.
And I think Vince, in the same way, has a similar feeling towards Jericho. Jericho tells the story that when he first signed with WWE, the first meeting he had with WWE was at Vince's house. He was asked to fly in, and they had a driver pick him up and drove him over to Vince's house. And Jericho essentially sat in on a booking meeting. Bearing in mind, he was a WCW wrestler at the time. He sat in on a WWF booking meeting. And he realized later on, I was like, oh, that was a test to see if I would go back to WCW and tell them what they had planned. And he didn't, which is why they've got a very good relationship.
Yeah, and you always hear these stories backstage of Jericho being one of the only guys, even when he first debuted in the company, to stand up to people. You know, he stood up to Goldberg. He stood up to Brock Lesnar after SummerSlam 2016 with the Randy Orton elbow thing. He was like, you know, what the hell are you doing? And apparently there was a brief altercation there. If there's a bad idea, Jericho will say to Vince McMahon, that's a bad idea.
He was heavily pushing to change the ending of SummerSlam 2010.
Him
and Edge were saying, like, this is a terrible way to finish a pay-per-view, and it will kill this group dead.
And it did. And that's the Nexus, of course. And Vince McMahon seems to, when you read interviews about the guy, he both doesn't and does want you to question him.
Yes.
And it just seems to be case-by-case basis.
Grab that brass ring.
Yeah, if you're the right person to grab... if I like you. If I want you to grab the brass ring, grab the brass ring. But I'm not going to tell you who.
No.
Yeah.
And if you do grab it when I don't want you to grab it, then you're in trouble, mate.
Yeah. But Chris Jericho was one of the guys who they're on the same page of. And, like, apparently Vince was always on board with the Kenny Omega match.
Yeah, Jericho went to Vince and said, like, I've got this idea. I want to go to New Japan and have this match with Kenny Omega. And Vince said, that sounds like a great idea. You should definitely go and do it.
Yes. And in these are recent interviews as well. Jericho has said, I'm not going to do anything in North America out of respect for Vince. One example being, you know this story better than I, when Jericho nearly went to TNA about a decade ago.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, he wanted to do that, but because Vince has always had his back and because he and Vince have got this sort of relationship, he didn't want to go to TNA because he was like, well, why would I disrespect a man who helped put me on the map, really? Like, Vince made him a bigger star than Bischoff and WCW ever did. So why would he then go across to TNA when, you know, I don't want to turn my back on the people that I like? And he's always happy to just go back to WWE, put on a spangly jacket, and walk out and have matches.
So that's been the case up until, I would say, Sunday. Last Sunday at Slammiversary. Because before then, I thought Jericho's never going to go. He's never going to turn his back on Vince McMahon. Like, not even for New Japan. So definitely not for Impact, who he hasn't even wrestled for yet. Or even though there's a Don Callis connection there, who they're very good friends with. They both come from Winnipeg, and they're very good friends outside. Podcasting. Don Callis was the man responsible for bringing Jericho in to Ring of Honor.
To New Japan.
Yes, of course, yeah. So, now we're going to start presenting evidence for how this has been chipping away in my mind. Exhibit 1, or A.
A.
Exhibit
1A.
Is last year, Chris Jericho announced that he would be having a Rock and Wrestling Rager
at Sea. Yes, I've said it enough times in the news now that I now know it's Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea.
Tickets are still available if you want to go and check it out.
Ollie Davis will not be going on that trip because he gets terribly seasick. He gets seasick and motion sickness playing Super Mario Kart on the SNES.
Yeah, I'm not very well built for reality sometimes.
I was playing Castlevania 4 the other day on the SNES, and you were like, I cannot look at the screen. It was making you feel very ill. It's one with the rotating room.
And apparently he initially approached WWE and said it would be great if NXT could have a presence on this. And this is like Jericho. This is his own money, by all accounts. He said this himself, that to set up, it's a huge gamble. And hopefully it pays off for him. And Triple H apparently said no.
There had a lot of back and forth discussions, and I think Jericho said it was just like, it's a typical WWE move that you kind of like, they leave you hanging for a long time just so you can get a call from someone who you haven't spoken to previously to say that we've decided to pass.
Okay, so that's the first bit of friction. That's the first bit there.
But that was last year.
Yeah.
So that friction was last year. He then did Raw 25 and the Greatest Royal Rumble. So there's still some relationship stuff there. And it was also still in the lead up to Omega Alpha.
But then, apparently one of the reasons Vince probably was okay with Jericho versus Omega was because he thought it was a one-off.
It was a one-time deal.
And we all thought that as well.
Yeah.
Jericho wouldn't stay for one more match. But he did. And he went into a program with Naito. And Dave Meltzer has revealed that Vince was not happy with this.
Yeah, he was not pleased that they did the second deal.
And now Jericho's holding a championship belt for the company, a company that itself is trying to expand into North America, onto Vince's land.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. So, okay, that's another side of things. And then, Sunday, Slammiversary, Don Callis spends a large part of the Sami Callihan and Pentagon Jr. match. Extraordinary match.
It's unfair to say a large part.
Yeah, it was there.
The opening 5 minutes were very much like a, have you heard that Chris Jericho is having a Rock and Wrestling Rager? Tickets are available now. You should definitely go. Because Sami Callihan is going to be there and he's facing Marty Scurll. And then but right now he's facing Pentagon Jr. Let's talk about that.
But Callihan and Jericho have been building up a feud as well online.
Yes.
Like the way the storyline angle Impact announced that they'll be on Jericho's cruise is through Callihan calling out Impact Management, ROH, who were also on the wrestling cruise, and Jericho, called like Jericho's one of the biggest bitches out there.
Mm.
And that was the angle to set up Jericho, saying, okay, well, you're all invited and you're all on board. Impact are now working with Jericho, but not in a broadcast sense.
And they're calling it Impact versus ROH.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of the big sort of why you should go onto this tour, to see Impact v ROH. And the first of that is Callahan versus Skrull.
So that starts to happen. And you've got this... So you've got this Jericho-Callahan feud bubbling away that Callahan is referencing on Slammiversary. So that was Sunday. And then, on Tuesday, I think it was, in some just a Q&A session on Twitter, Chris Jericho answered someone's tweet question about whether he'd ever consider going to Impact with, "Of course!" exclamation point. This is a completely different answer to what's been said even like a couple of months ago.
Well, you got to remember as well, I think in Chris Jericho's mind, is that where is Impact currently taping at the moment?
Canada.
So it's not North America. Oh, it is North America, but it's not in the America, man. That's Vince's soil.
So he's North America does include Canada,
yes,
as a continent.
Yes, but I believe that he's... It almost feels like it's like that asterisk. It's like, what I said was true from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
I won't do anything in New York, but Canada's fine.
Anything above the 49th parallel, it's okay. I nearly said TNA. Sometimes it sneaks in. Impact.
In all fairness, I was saying that yesterday when I was interviewing SoCal Val, bless you.
Have announced... Oh, sorry, there's that name you dropped.
Sorry, thank you very much. I'll keep that in my pocket.
Impact announced after Slammiversary that Bound for Glory, their version of WrestleMania, will take place in New York.
Yeah, that's a big market for them. Really big. And this feels like it's almost come out of nowhere, really, because very much that since Impact have been kind of like trying to rebuild themselves after the whole Dixie Carter, Billy Corgan nonsense and all that sort of stuff that happened there, since Ed Nordholm has essentially taken over with Callis and Scott D'Amore and Sanjay Dutt, they've kind of been sort of like doing this little thing, we're doing everything still in the Impact zone, we're going to keep everything there for the moment. And then it was like, okay, we'll do some bits in Canada, and we're doing some taping in Canada, we'll do a pay-per-view in Canada for the Slammiversary there. And then all of a sudden they're like, and now we're going to New York. Like, we are, because they sold out Slammiversary, like a legit sellout. They sold 1,000 tickets.
So happy for them.
Sold 1,000 tickets for the show. And now they're going to go and try and replicate that success in New York.
And that's like a very smart move, I think, because New York, the wrestling appetite is very rampant there. You've done Canada already.
I was going to say, unless we forget as well, they're coming over to the UK for Wrestling MediaCon.
Oh, yes, of course, in September 8th and 9th. Tickets available. And
come meet us there.
So Bound for Glory is November time, usually. First week of November.
Late October. It's usually late October, yeah.
Is it?
Well, it always used to be. They might also be early November.
But the Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea is late October.
It is, yes, because it falls over my anniversary, which is why I'm not going.
Mm. So I'm just thinking Bound for Glory would be the next big pay-per-view. Because Impact have got a really nice model at the moment where they've only got a few pay-per-views a year. Got Slammiversary, there was Redemption, which was sort of the first pay-per-view of the new Callis and Moore era. And then I guess it will be Bound for Glory next, around October, November time.
Yes.
That ties in very nicely for a Jericho last minute ticket sales push.
Well, if you're going to be, I mean, it's the New York market, which is a very hotbed for wrestling fans.
Oh, I meant for the cruise.
Oh, yeah, for the cruise, yeah. I suppose, as well. But I'm thinking, like, you know, if you wanted to do Jericho at Bound for Glory, if you really wanted to, like, push Bound for Glory ticket sales, having a name like Jericho on there is one of those reasons to do it. But it's interesting as well that Jericho, when he did his interview with Inside the Ropes, when he was talking to Kenny McIntosh, he said that you wouldn't believe the amount of requests I get for people, like indie bookings, essentially. Like, a lot of indie promoters go, like, contact Jericho and say, like, would you like to work my show? But Jericho has got this thing, like, he says, I don't want to devalue my name. You know, I don't want to devalue, I don't want to work in front of 100 people because I'm Chris Jericho. I work in, I do, you know, I do the Tokyo Dome. You know, I do only big shows.
Yeah.
That's why he said that he wouldn't do All In, because All In is beneath him. Now, whether that's in character or not, so it's a different matter. But he does, I think he still has this mentality about it. It's like, no, I'm only going to do the big shows. So would he consider doing Bound for Glory, which will likely be in front of, again, 1,000 people? Would he consider that to be a big show?
So Slammiversary was 2,000.
That's 1,000.
But was it a thousand?
It was 1,000, yeah.
But
then he set it up for 1,000.
Okay. This is a broadcast show, though. It's difficult to... I totally get that. And it sounds like he's being pompous and you're like, oh, mate, you should just love wrestling. But that's the completely wrong mindset. He's totally right.
He's a brand.
It's a brand.
You've got to protect that
he's
brand.
He's a businessman. It's And you want to keep your name special. And doing those shows... He's totally right from my perspective.
Yeah. I mean, you can see, like, sometimes you see them on YouTube when you see old stars of the past showing up and wrestling in, you know, basketball... Or, you know, basketball state... Well, I don't know what you call them. Basketball... Courts. Thank you very much. It's a court. Sports games.
Sports.
And he's, you know, in front of 50 people. And as a, you know, you were someone who watched those people wrestle in the 90s, and you're like, oh, this is quite sad now, isn't it? And I think Jericho wants to just, like, I'm in the Tokyo Dome, mate.
But if Jericho's all about getting people talking, suddenly turning up in Impact, when Impact is, you know, that's the next hot up-and-coming promotion, which is weird to say because it's been around for 15 years or whatever now.
More than that, 17 years.
Really, 17?
Oh, well, 2002, I think they had their first show.
Yeah. Okay. So it's that would be a big move. Like, that would be bigger, I think, than Jericho turning up for All In or ROH.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Callis connection. So it's... Well, will it happen? Should it happen? I would love to see it happen, just because it would just be like dropping a bomb into this political landscape of wrestling that hasn't really been rocked for two decades.
Mm-hmm.
And All In is like a little bomb. But, you know, the more bombs that can be let off, the more frishes that are going to happen in WWE's monopoly.
Yeah.
And then hopefully other companies can come up and take those spots.
You know, another bomb would be, you could maybe call this a pipe bomb, would be if ROH can convince Punk to be at their Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a big bomb. Jericho wrestling for Impact, that's another one. All In, you know, all these like tiny little sort of ripples and stuff can shake up the foundations of the American wrestling scene.
Totally. And good you mentioned that, because I nearly forgot.
Thank you.
Tweet for Jericho's this same Twitter Q&A run. Someone asked him, it would be great to see you show up at the ROH New Japan G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden on WrestleMania weekend. And he just replied,
I think Jericho...
That's
well,
very
yeah.
teasy.
Yeah, I think Jericho's a very smart man as well. Mm. Jericho knows how to like get people like you and I talking about this sort of stuff, and how to get, you know, the fans that watch this show, getting them talking. By doing this, like him just saying, like, of course I'd consider working for Impact. Of course I would consider it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same thing. Like, because then if he doesn't, he was like, well, I did say I considered it, I just chose not to do it. What I said was true. From a certain point of view.
And usually I would say I would totally be on your side. It's just that it's been reciprocated by Callis on commentary. That was really the bit. It's those two bits. Jericho saying, of course, on Twitter, just so happens to come 2 days after Callis overtly referencing a Callahan-Jericho feud on Impact. Mm. So, yeah. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One of the other big bits of news from the week is that massive indie star and the current Evolve champion Matt Riddle is likely on his way to NXT, or you know, it's WWE, more likely NXT though. And this comes from the fact that Matt Riddle was booked for an Irish promotion called OTT, and that was over SummerSlam weekend, and he's pulled out of those dates. So obviously, that's, you know, a little bit of stoking the fire there. Then he's pulled out of September's Battle of Los Angeles with PWG, which he was actually the favourite to win. He'd already agreed to do it. He's pulled out. He's been replaced with Trevor Lee. So that's more sort of stoking the fire there. And a podcast called Matt Men Podcast said that their sources have told them that he is set to debut at NXT Brooklyn 4.
So probably an on-camera, in-the-crowd job.
Like the Keith Lee, the Bobby Roode, the Drew McIntyre. Yeah, you sit in the crowd and then, you know, you're probably going to wear his hat at a jaunty angle and then the crowd will be like, oh, it's Matt Riddle!
Well, I was thinking about that. I thought, man, NXT do that a lot. That is the takeover trope, to have someone at ringside who they can cut to and everyone knows who they are. They have the name bar graphic. Whoa, I can't wait for NXT television going forward. I thought, man, that's very repetitive, actually. NXT have got themselves stuck in the... Wait a second! What happened at last year's Brooklyn show?
What did happen at last year's Brooklyn
Undisputed
show?
Undisputed Era. Adam Cole turned up.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he did!
And he was never set up. And I thought, holy moly, I just, like... NXT have already done the thing that I was going to suggest NXT improve themselves on.
That's the day I was really hungover.
Yeah.
I just remember, they've just given me like Vietnam flashbacks of watching that show in bed.
And it's like, it's great. It's a great way to debut people, just having them at ringside. But sometimes when you've got someone really special that you believe in, as Adam Cole has proved to be, you can do it, you can deviate, and it makes them feel even more special because it's not the same as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And you can carry that momentum in right away, take over debut in the ring rather than at ringside. And I thought, man, if you can do that with anyone, Matt Riddle's the guy to do it with.
Yeah, Matt Riddle is really awesome as well. But it's interesting, I think what's the most interesting thing about this story is that 3 years ago, Riddle aced his WWE tryouts. That's always been the word, and that's been what WWE have said. He has aced the tryout, and they have wanted to sign him.
And he's only gotten better.
He's only gotten better, but he has a penchant for the marijuana.
The wacky backy.
The wacky backy, some might call it. To the point where he had a few of his UFC wins overturned because he then failed drug tests, and that's why he was fired from UFC, and that's why he turned to professional wrestling. And essentially WWE were like, we would love to sign you, but we've got, you know, drug policies in place. You can't smoke weed, even though that a lot of people do it. In fact, actually, it's called the weed tax, is the WWE terminology. I won't mention any names, but everyone knows the names that we, you know, we're probably talking about. The names on the main roster who also really, really like weed, probably to the same level that Matt Riddle does, but they're allowed to still be employed, and they just pay their weed tax.
Occasionally, they get a token fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how it works. A toke. And fine.
Very nice. Good.
Thank you. So that's the reason why Matt Riddle has not been signed. It's also the reason why he's never been signed by New Japan, who also have had a lot of interest in Matt Riddle. He was actually booked for New Japan last November. He was going to be at the tag team with Jeff Cobb, the Chosen Bros. But Japan has a, like, as a country, have a very sort of negative view of marijuana. and that's why. And apparently, like, the New Japan executive is just like, he's never working here. Absolutely, he's never working here. But they've now had a change of management, ironically enough, from a Dutchman.
I didn't think of that. From Harold Mage.
So,
oh, bong and a bledge.
Schmog and a pancake. So he might, he said he might want to go over for a schmog and a pancake into...
Cigar and a waffle.
So, New Japan. So apparently they've both been making a play for him. But the word is... it's more likely going to be WWE. Mm. And the rumour on the grapevine is, because the dates just line up like perfectly with him pulling out of OTT, that it will be at Brooklyn 4.
Yeah, and New Japan let their performers do stuff like OTT and Battle of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's, and there'll be no need for him to pull out of those dates if he was going over to New Japan. Unless you were doing it just to, like... you know, maybe stoke the fire. That t-shirt's completely fallen off now.
That's an enormously exciting prospect.
Oh, it would be.
Riddle,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, Dave Meltzer, I think, quite rightly pointed out, where he said that if weed wasn't the issue, then he would A, be the top guy in NXT at the moment, and B, would be like the number two or three foreigner in New Japan.
Or, yeah, the top guy in NXT, or at least, at the very least, a pre-show performer on the main roster.
Absolutely.
With a caveman gimmick?
No,
No, I reckon California Man.
If you're going to give California Man, I'm all in, because that's one of my favourite films. I would totally love that. Goes out with Rad Racer? Yes, I'd love that, mate. That'd be awesome.
Do you want to do this thing that you've included just here?
Well, this is a story that came out through PW Insider that are saying, oh, off the back of that AJ Styles match that Andrade Cien Almas had last week... he's scheduled to get a big push. It's almost as if it was a match designed to get someone really over, and it sort of worked. And now he's going to be getting a push off the back of it.
I
would just like to say, out of the two of us, one of us definitely said that was going to happen.
No. And one of us said, it's a star-making performance. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That's hyperbole. That's
and
not quite
the other one of us said... I really enjoyed it. I didn't think it was the best thing ever, but I did enjoy it.
Hey, man, that match made a star in the most important people's eyes,
the creative team
backstage.
The report never said that. They just said it impressed people backstage.
They didn't say
it blew people's minds. Almas is now going to be the second coming of Rey Mysterio.
He's getting a big push out of the back of it, man, so clearly it worked.
Let's see some shout-outs. It's Patreon Pledge Hammer shout-out time. If you pledge, how much is it?
$25.
$25 a month or more. That's insane. Then you get not only your name in wrestling form. You'll see a few of them coming up. We take your name and we try and make it...
into a wrestling-style name.
Funny.
Yeah.
You also get inducted into the WrestleTalk Hall of Fame, which isn't a thing, much like the real Hall of Fame. But more importantly, you get a Hall of Fame... ring!
Yes.
Get it? It's a bell! It's a wrestling bell!
It's very good. You also get to submit your suggestions for pay-per-views for us to do our Wrestle Ramble extra episodes on in the middle of every month. Last month we just did TNA Destination 2011. Destination X 2011. I did that on yesterday's podcast. Destination X 2011. And this month, oh, it's a close battle. In fact, I've got a big update for you on that.
Is 2010 winning?
In the podcast intros and outros, I've got an update for you. But I'm going to save it for the podcast.
But you also get to vote for, not vote, but suggest. You get to vote as well. But you get to suggest fantasy booking warfare topics.
Yes.
People also dig. So thank you, Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
The $100 Man, C.D. Horver.
The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Michael, name your price.
What you talking about, Jerry Willis?
Caught in a Travis Webb.
Courtney Villainous Havoc Summers.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
David Hendrix's God McKenzie.
Christopher the Condor Johnson.
I'm not going to look at the bell. I'm going to see if I can hit it without looking. The incredible Jorge Henriquez.
Good start. Rob Pontin Problems Pontin. That was almost like Pentagon Jr. with the baseball bat.
Matthew Preston City Wrestling.
Shaw Far From Bland Blandford.
Stem Cell Robert Stemmen.
Big Ben Spires.
Oh, that was a close one. Dead the Pool Warrior.
Britain's Next Top Model Phil Stopford.
You noticed I'm going harder.
I know,
not
I'm trying to move my fingers further away.
The Step Brother Brennan McCulloch.
Killer Chris Phillips.
The real true heel, then, Bren.
Jonathan, the headmaster headman.
The major. What have you written down here? The major of Painesville.
That's what it's always been. I just copied and pasted it across.
Mayor.
Yeah.
It should be mayor.
Yeah, that's spelled with a J. Well, that's the way you've always spelled it. That's how it's always
been
in the
form.
Oh, that
was a spelling mistake. Mayor spelled with a Y.
I think in some countries, yes.
But the mayor of Painesville, the real Dan's Dan, always the bridesmaid. You get a second one.
Draft House Games.
Steep Climb, James Mahill. I should have done a different inflection because that was the last one.
The rest of them will be read out on next week's Raw episode. If this is your first time watching and you're wondering, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Crap gimmick is a fun little segment we do on the Saturday show, or at least we think it's fun and a few other people do as well, where you submit to us your crap gimmicks to submit and we'd see if we want to sign them to Crap Gimmick Wrestling. Crap gimmicks are essentially, almost think of it like the 1990s WWF way of thinking of you are a wrestler and a blank. And that essentially is what a crap gimmick is. We've had some amazing suggestions in over the last few weeks. In fact, last week's very, very strong.
It was close.
And if you want to submit any crap gimmicks, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. I'll say that one more time. luke@wrestletalk.com. I thought I'd say it twice because I still do get a lot of messages from people going like, where do I send crap gimmicks to? So I thought I'd better say it now. luke@wrestletalk.com, subject line crap gimmick, and I'll find them.
You're immediately disqualified if you have to ask stuff we've already told you. There was, because we put a call out for writers for the WrestleTalk.com website on Monday's news. And I put, you know, so clear. This is the place. This is the guy you send it to. Here's the instructions. The instructions are also in the video description below. If you then send in the wrong thing,
can't take instructions.
Can't help you.
Yeah, you can't take instructions, mate. So we've got three crap gimmicks to get through here. If I don't read yours out, it'll be because I've got a backlog. Currently, there are 113 crap gimmicks sat in my inbox. And considering we only do about three a week, it's going to take a while for me to get through some of them.
CG dub.
CG dub, indeed. So our first one comes in from Patrick Aylward. Dr. Feelgood, and I'm here to help you. Dr. Feelgood is a middle-aged doctor who is fit, articulate, and educated. Think William Regal or Frasier, minus any pompousness. So this is a babyface crap gimmick. Mm. He's a psychologist whose biggest joy in life is analysing and helping all the heels on the roster with their personal issues that make them so angry, bitter, and unstable. He refers to his opponent's personal files, of which he keeps one on everyone. The doctor would talk about their upcoming match as if it would be a clinical session during which he would help his opponent deal with their issues. While wrestling, the doctor is very verbal, constantly communicating with his opponents and giving them advice both openly and privately as a whisper to conserve clients' confidentiality with anything serious or too personal. So that is Dr. Feelgood from Patrick Aylward.
Okay.
You were waiting for that next step, I suppose.
I thought there was going to be more, maybe a few promo bits, like how it'd look. I guess you've got the Frasier crane. That's what I thought of when you said Dr. Feelgood. It's interesting how that's meant to be a babyface gimmick. I can see it getting quite annoying, which would suit itself more to a heel thing. I mean, what do you think? There wasn't much to sink my teeth into there.
No, I quite like some of the ideas in there, but it's not like a, man, that's a
man,
complete
that's
winner.
Crap.
That's
crap.
Oh, man,
oh,
yeah.
Geez, that's
and
crap.
I think I'm with you. I was waiting for that kind of that next step. You know, we kind of had the little setup. Now we need a finisher. We need an entrance. We need a look. We need this, that, and the other.
Puns.
And puns. You know, puns are always good. Well, let's see if Jake Diaz can impress the very hard to impress Oliver Davis. Hi guys, my name is Jake Diaz and this is my crap gimmick for you. My idea consists of a young lemonade seller who lives in Tijuana. His name...
This is already good because it's very specific and contrived.
Wait for this. His name is Antonio Carter and Aliso Dalton, whose initials spell out acid. He has a huge and muscular arms from squeezing lemons all day. Then one day, a veteran luchador named El Limon, who's obviously El Lemon, trains him in the legendary art of lucha. The young boy trains with his teacher for a while, but one day his teacher is forced to retire when teaching him the finishing move, the squeeze machine, which is a big head squeeze. And he passes on his mask to his young trainee, who's wrestling now as El Acido. El Acido always has a bag of lemons that he takes to each fight to be able to remember his past and always keep him focused. Sometimes when he's feeling exhausted by the match, he'll squeeze a lemon into his mouth to wake him up and return him in focus.
This is really good. This is a good crap baby face. I like how much mythology there is there. This really fits into a kind of the Mexican soap opera, the telenovela style things, and just it's so overwrought and dramatic and emotional. I really like that.
Big yellow mask as well. That's like, it's a lucha mask that's also shaped a little bit like a lemon.
Thinking that. That's really good. And like, if it's like, if he does get into a proper blood feud, which he should, you know, like a mask versus mask match eventually, one of his hardcore spots, the other guy's bladed, get the lemon, squeeze it in.
Yes.
But that's like not as a heel move, just as like, I'm a babyface and this is my final move.
Or the heel uses it on him. He uses his own lemon against him.
Yeah. And there's, you know, he wouldn't need to cut promos. I don't know how good a talker he is.
No.
But, you know, there's lots of lemon puns you can have. Bitter.
Mm. Yep.
Other lemon puns.
I mean, there's so many.
But, you know, that's the Intercontinental Breakfast Championship. It's another food-based, or beverage more like, gimmick.
I like it.
So
our last one comes...
I really like that.
Yes. So our last one comes in. So the person who sent this, their email address is just Come Forth Sophia. So I don't know. And it turns out that's also their YouTube name. And they sent a screen grab of them posting this up onto the YouTube comment section we have on our videos. And apparently this one got 169 thumbs up from other members of the SWAF Nation. So clearly...
69.
Already it's over
okay.
with a portion of the SWAF Nation.
On the Wrestle Ramble.
Could have been on the news. Could have been. Don't know where it's from. He just sent me a screen crap of it. Screen cap.
Screen crap.
A screen crap.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a screen crap.
Just a little screen crap. Sorry. Pushed it in the corner.
So the character's name is Ghost, and he's billed from the other side. He wears all white and paints his face completely white as well. His alter ego gimmick is when he dresses all in black with black face paint. Of course, this is when it gets personal for him. So the gimmick is, he is convinced that he is a spirit of the nameless best wrestler of all time. Everyone is fully aware that he obviously isn't a ghost, except for him. He roams around the back of the locker room, randomly flipping lights on and off, whispering in wrestlers' ears, throwing random objects across the room, disappearing behind doorways and doing other ghostly type things. Entrance music is simply footsteps, knocking, creaks and squeaks. He slowly comes down to the ring in a white robe, floating almost. I mean, they've written here floating on a hoverboard, but like, let's try and be some realistic, shall we? He has a very evasive wrestling style that includes him sliding out of the ring, disappearing behind his opponents, and when they're not looking, and hiding under the ring, behind the announcer's desk in the barricade, and then he pops up to startle them and then attack them. His finisher is called the Possession, in which he attempts to mimic his opponent's finishing trademark moves. So that is the Ghost.
I really like the entrance music, and I think the central conceit of it is very funny, that he is, that he thinks he's a great wrestler who's passed on. But overall, I just what do you think?
There are parts.
Lemon was strong.
Yeah, there are parts of this that I do really like, but there are other parts of it that I don't think work particularly well. The Possession thing doesn't really work for me.
But it's over. It's over with the audience.
Maybe. Well, maybe we can get like a, maybe if you want to let us know in the comments.
Book Ghost.
Book Ghost. Hashtag Book Ghost, and let us know to see if we have made a mistake. But for me, I mean, it's. El Acido.
It's El Acido for me as well.
Yeah, that's who I'm with.
I mean, I would like El Limon is such a great name. He really should be El Limon Jr. when he takes on
El
the
Limon
mantle.
Or El Limon 2? Like Tiger Mask.
Yeah. So I would. That would be my only qualifying bit. Because I'm not... I get why it's acid, but I think it's just going to confuse the gimmick with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really strong food-based gimmick.
What was Chavo Senior's Chavo Classic? Because you can have Limon Classic as like his manager, almost like Mickey in Rocky.
There'll be a fake Limon.
Yeah.
Ah, this is good. So should we sign
El Limon
Junior?
And if you want to submit a mailbag question, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers by pledging any dollar amount to us on Patreon. And then you can send in, you can put it as a post in our little community section we've got on there, which is very vibrant and active. And then we will read out your questions on here and answer them the best we can.
May I just do a Patreon update?
Yes.
Because we, of course, passed $3,000, I think it was, a month thing.
Some time ago,
to build a new set. We were going to upgrade the set. We were going to get proper, like, little microphones for our things,
like,
here.
Actual microphones on a desk.
Yeah, rather than this kind of clunky setup.
And maybe be able to set up for more people.
Yep, with El Fakedor potentially, or any guests and
yes.
wrestlers we can interview.
We would love to be able to do a three-man booth in here, but it's quite cramped. Like, I mean, I can touch the wall here, and I know you can from there.
And there's just T-shirts behind us, so it's not the best setup. And, you know, we'd been talking to set designers, and they were going to come in, and then the part of the studio has collapsed.
Yeah.
So we are currently on the hunt for a new studio, and that's going to be factored in, you know, like this new set. So that is delayed for quite some time.
Yeah, it was already delayed. We're having to delay it further due to unforeseen circumstances like collapsing
the ceiling falling in.
Yeah,
we're lucky to have quite a large place at the moment,
Brag.
So we haven't been using that room. But the other stuff obviously hasn't been affected. But we can't use. So we need to move. But so definitely by the end of the year, hopefully beforehand. Let's do some mailbags.
So here is the mailbag. First up, from Britain's Next Top Model, Phil Stopford. I think to date, the most successful person suggesting pay-per-views for Wrestle Ramble Extra. I think he's got a good track record at the
moment.
What
an accolade.
So Phil Stopford is asking, as NXT call-ups continue to be botched, Sanity being the latest, whose call-up you guys think... Sanity being the latest, whose call-ups do you think they've actually done well? I'd offer up maybe Samoa Joe, probably Charlotte. Loving your work as always, and thank you from the Pledge Hammer for all the work you guys do, and proper warm welcome to Laurie Blake, three-man commentary team. So that's why we don't do one at the moment. Who do you think from the NXT call-up do you think they have done particularly well? I mean, I've already got a couple that I could throw out.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because there are so many people who have come through NXT.
Yeah.
But I am not going to count anyone who had a name before NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to think of them as an NXT guy to really think, well done, WWE, you created a star, and then you called them up through your system, and it was all okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Because Samoa Joe would be ruled out for me. Because he spent a year in NXT?
Yeah.
He's a TNA guy, ROH guy, TNA in my head. Same with...
Seth Rollins.
Finn Balor, I don't think WWE added much to... No, I think Seth Rollins really was a creation on the main roster, though.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say he's a...
Well, surely he was a creation. Surely he was a creation from The Shield.
Yes, yeah, which was a main roster act.
I see what you're saying.
Like, I don't look at... I know they are. What's the question? Am I misinterpreting it?
So, which call-ups do you think have been done well? So, basically, the broad stroke is NXT call-ups that have actually succeeded. Because I think the kind of, like, the general consensus is there have been very few actually successful NXT call-ups.
Yeah. But like
Seth would be the first person I'd think of as a former NXT champion, and he's, you know, done exceptionally well up on the main roster. The company's not always behind him, but they were behind him for a long stretch of time during that sort of 2014 he was champion?
Something like that.
But they were really behind him at that point then. Maybe it was 2015.
Because I would say...
It was 2015, in fact.
I was going to say Sasha Banks then. What am I thinking?
Then was nearly for a while. Charlotte, I think, is a good shout.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte is someone that they've very much protected
yeah.
to make sure that she is getting a strong push coming out of it. I'd also say Drew. I think they're really doing a good job of protecting Drew.
But is he an NXT call-up? He's a WWE return, if anything. And he was only in NXT for 9 months, if that.
But he was technically is an NXT call-up.
See, I'm sorry if I'm not taking your question in the right parameters, but for me, it's got to be like a proper NXT person, someone who's created their act at least in NXT. Good grief, I can't think of many at all. Like Rusev, but Rusev has been considerably botched on the main roster.
Also, Rusev was very different in NXT than he was up on the main roster.
Yeah, because even Kevin Owens, like, I'm familiar with him more as an ROH guy, and mm-hmm. same with Sami Zayn. I don't know where Sami Zayn wrestled beforehand, because...
He's brand new.
Yeah, he's brand new.
Can I offer you up... I'm going to step slightly outside the parameters that you're talking about, mm-hmm. and talk about people who could be considered an NXT call-up, regardless of where they came from previously. Cesaro. Cesaro was a main roster guy, but went down to NXT and went back up a much better performer. And a performer that everyone was actually, the company was more behind. He was like, you know, just completely flat on the main roster until he went to NXT and had that amazing series with Sami Zayn. And then coming back off that, it was like, cool, now let's give this guy a bit of a push. And that push lasted for, you know, for however long it did. And then he became the tag team with D'Bar, and now they're doing quite right for themselves.
Yeah, I guess you could in always, the long run, Cesaro, and but they haven't been on TV.
You could also argue Roman Reigns. You know, he was an NXT call-up who has main evented WrestleMania 4 years in a row. He's facing Brock Lesnar for the main title at SummerSlam. I mean, you can't say that they've not got behind an NXT call-up when Roman Reigns is far pushed.
You know what? In the first year, I would have said the Wyatt family.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was a great call-up.
And the Shield, really.
Yeah, the Shield. And but the Shield weren't an act in NXT, is what I'm saying. Wyatt family were an act.
Okay,
is going to be a weird one as well. But I genuinely loved Enzo Amore.
Yeah, when he came up with Big Cass, yeah.
So I, and like they were so over on the main roster for 6 months at least until, and they were kind of over. They were always over in spite of the push, and like what Enzo did as a heel. Maybe I'd say Enzo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I could certainly get behind that as an answer. And it's interesting, well, I think a lot of people... I got a bit of flack this week because I was very down on SmackDown. A huge disparity, 60% thought the show was smacktastic, if you can believe it, whereas only 7% agreed with me thinking it was Ellsworthy. And that's a massive disparity. So I'm willing to admit that perhaps I'm clearly in the minority that thought the show was quite poor, aside from the fact that the opening match was good. But, you know, we were talking about the Joe attack could have been so much better if they'd have just changed this slight little wrinkle. We were talking about that earlier. But I didn't think the show was great. And a lot of people just instantly assume that because Sanity lose, I dislike the show. Mm. And just like, well, they can't win all the time. And then the first thing I want to say is just like, well, I mean, look at the Shield.
Yeah.
When the Shield came in, they really protected them and they won all the time. And now look where all three of them are. Like, all three of them are much more over because they were brought in and actually given a push from the outset, rather than brought in to be like, cool, now you just lose all the time, and then you get nothing behind you. Like,
yeah, wins and losses do matter.
Wins and losses do matter. And so that's why I think the Sanity thing really winds me up. But anyway, so are you going with Enzo?
I'm going with Enzo, I think.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go with someone like Charlotte, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. I think there's a good number of NXT call-ups that haven't been completely botched.
Completely botched. But they have been botched.
They have been botched. You know, they have been botched.
Like, Seth Rollins is doing great now, but he had a tough couple of years where they didn't know what his character was. That Triple H feud was drawn out forever. He wasn't a babyface when he came back. He was like this weird,
what was that all about?
Morally ambiguous person.
Yeah, that was very bad.
Anyway, next
right. Ben Sawyer has got... I mean, this is less of a question, but I think certainly more of a statement, but I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on this. Are we supposed to pretend WWE isn't somehow going to make AJ versus Joe at SummerSlam boring? Look at the AJ versus Nakamura match at WrestleMania and the subsequent feud. Every dream match WWE gives to hardcore wrestling fans is always a letdown. Obviously, I want the match to happen because it should be awesome, and I have enjoyed SmackDown a lot recently, but I'm having such a hard time being excited for it the way Luke and Ollie are. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be ultra smarky and act like WWE doesn't ever put on good matches. They can do, even on Raw and SmackDown, and even on pay-per-views at times. But it always feels like a deliberate decision to ruin the dream matches that all of us, huge air quotes for Luke's, indie fans salivate over. Hmm. I'm convinced Vince actually hates us.
Again, I think WWE and their agents book the match that they genuinely think is the best thing that they can do.
On the position of the card it's on as well.
I disagree with them and how they did the Styles Nakamura match. But Styles Brock Lesnar was brilliant. Styles versus Balor was excellent. Those are essentially dream matches.
And the final Styles versus Nakamura match at Money in the Bank, I thought was awesome. I really, really liked that one.
It was good. It wasn't like the level that they could have, though.
No, it wasn't their Wrestle Kingdom match. No. But I still thought it was really, really good.
Yeah. So, but I don't know what to say. I totally agree with you. Like, there is nothing in WWE's track record to prove that they can let these guys have the kind of match that would even be like scraping the bar of that was good.
Yeah. But we've always said, like, WWE isn't about putting on dream matches because that's not their company model. Their company model isn't... They're not a wrestling show.
But Michael Cole will say dream match again and again and again.
He certainly will. Chris Merriman asks, and I think we've had this question before, but how would you feel about all the main roster women only appearing on Raw and all the tag team division only appearing on SmackDown? This allows for more diverse feuds that won't have to be recycled as quickly, multiple storylines that aren't just about the title, more consistent TV time, and the ability to add new belts that aren't just copies, such as the Women's Intercontinental or Trios belt. I've quickly answer this one because I've said this before, but I think putting all of the women onto one show just turns them into a gimmick, and then you've just got an all male show on the other one, which just seems really just doesn't really work in 2018.
I tell you what might be a way around it. Trios belts,
obviously.
Yeah,
that'll fix any issue.
But if you have like the men's tag division exclusive to one brand and the women's tag division exclusive to the other, that could work, and you've still got women on. No, it wouldn't. I don't know. I don't like the idea of splitting up the women for your reasons as well.
Because essentially he says, like, oh, you're just like the cruiserweights and you can only just be on one show because you're a gimmick.
Yeah.
And Rob Ponson actually sort of follows up with this with another question, which is, should they merge everything together again? I've never understood the point in having two separate brands when they are written the exact same way. Hmm. When I say separate shows, I mean a different show, a different feel for each show. For example, Raw stays as the WWE show, but turns SmackDown into a show where wrestlers have wrestling matches. So I think what he's suggesting is merging the two rosters back together, but presenting two different shows. So Raw is the WWE storyline stuff, and then on SmackDown you just have the wrestling matches. That side of it I'm not massively keen on, but and I'm also actually not that keen considering the depth the roster has,
yeah,
of merging the two together. People say that on SmackDown people are struggling for TV time as it is. If you merge all of them together and you start putting all the Raw guys onto that show, they're going to give you less time.
I'm glad the brand split has happened, because like you say, there's like, say if we get the Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns feud, at the moment it's only once a week, but if they were on both brands, you'd see that on SmackDown the next night as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be twice a week, and these matches that are repetitive already, I'm pretty sure they'd just double down on them.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you would just do the exact same
thing.
A
rematch the very next night.
I was going to say, all you've got to do is look back at the times when SmackDown, when they merged those rosters back together and they called Raw the Super Show, which had Raw and SmackDown guys, but then SmackDown only still had SmackDown guys. SmackDown was such a nothing show.
Yeah.
There was literally no point in watching the show. And when they merge the rosters, that always happens to SmackDown. It becomes, there's no point in watching it. However, that will change when they go to Fox and SmackDown becomes the A show and Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Ronda Rousey all go to that show. And essentially Raw will just be SmackDown and SmackDown will become Raw.
I think they'll equal out.
You reckon they'll equal out?
Yeah, I think they'll treat them the same.
Mm. Well, we'll see. And finally, Chris Smith has got one last question for us. If you could get one honest answer from Vince McMahon, what would you ask him? One honest answer from Vinnie Mac, what would you ask him?
I mean, like, for just morality reasons, probably something about Jimmy Snuka. Like, you'd have to, because that's the thing.
Be interesting to know.
Man, that is a great question. Have you got one?
No, I mean, an honest answer is very difficult, because actually, my first port of call would be like, what were you thinking during the invasion? But the honest answer would be the answer that he more or less gives them, sort of like the company-wide answer, which has always been like, we didn't really know what we had, we didn't know what to do with it, so we just sort of made it up as we went along, and it all fell apart very quickly. So I don't know. Like, I've already sort of got an honest answer about that. And that genuinely does feel like an honest answer, of just like, we don't know.
Yeah.
That is an honest answer. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, morality thing, that's where you'd go. I think, like, did you know?
Yeah.
Did you cover it up?
Yeah, or, yeah, just like, because then that could help the legal proceedings. I mean, I'm sure there are so many.
I'm sure people will have a better answer to this in the comments. I'm trying to think if there really is a question I would love to ask Vince.
It's just like, you know, like you said about the invasion one, it's just going to be an answer like that, really.
Yeah, I know, because I think that will be...
I mean, but Macho Man?
Well, that was the other one I was thinking of, yeah. But maybe you get the Bruce Pritchard, like his level of honesty, which is just like, I've never heard that story before.
Well, no, not on that. You could just say, what happened to cause a rift between you and Macho Man?
Actually, yeah, that would be a really interesting question to ask. That's it. It's more of a personal thing you want to ask. It's like, what caused the personal rift between you and Jarrett?
I just remembered the freaking... proper one.
Yeah.
Like the screw job. Is it a work?
Oh, there you
that's
go.
That's the one that's staring us in the face.
Was Montreal all a work?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
things like the Jarrett one, you might get like, yeah, he tried to hold me up for money. You'd be like, cool, well, now I know that.
Mm.
But I suppose, yeah, was
finally put it to rest.
Was Montreal a work? Yeah, that would be quite a good one to ask.
Cool.
So our first email we've got here is from James Huntley, who's a $10 Patreon backer, and he's got a correspondence here which is just D&D correspondence.
This is the one that you were going to read out, but we had to cut out
indeed.
Out of time.
And funny enough, actually, I actually got a tweet from James saying, like, well, I sent you an email, but I haven't heard it on the show yet. And then another one about half an hour later was like, I've just listened to the podcast, and you're going to read it out next week.
You called him your favourite fan, didn't you?
I didn't
you
say
were like,
didn't say
everyone else isn't as good as him.
Everyone else is pretty rubbish.
Yeah.
But this guy's really great. I think that's exactly what I said word for word,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Rolled your eyes.
And refused to sell him any merchandise. Yeah. I thought I'd share with you my first ever D&D character and backstory. I decided to start my first campaign based on you hearing talk about your favourite board games on the Wrestle Ramble. Since a lot of the games I play are the same as yours, I thought, why the hell not? The reasoning behind the outrageous nature was loosely based on how silly, yet awesome, the crap gimmicks are. So his character is Aurelio Bearkiller, the twice-orphaned, level 4, Goliath Barbarian. This is the name given to him by the Goliath Militia because no one knows his true last name. When Aurelio was very young, his parents were killed by a bear in the middle of the night. Being an abnormally strong Goliath, Aurelio snuck behind the bear and killed it. This left him as an orphan and scared of bears. The townsfolk were able to track down a foster family for him. However, in the middle of the night, his foster family were killed by another bear. This left Aurelio twice orphaned. Following this, he was taken into permanent care by the Goliath Militia, given his surname, and trained how to track bears down until he remained until he was an adult. Now Aurelia Bearkiller, the twice-orphaned child, has started to venture forth to Valin towards the Great Barrier to investigate rumblings that he may have family members that need protection from bears in the long-lost village with no name. Hope this lightens up your day a bit. My party got quite the chuckle when I explained my character backstory to them.
I have never played Dungeons & Dragons, but since you and Fakador have started here and you talk about it a lot, it does seem really exciting and fun. But that to me sounded like a backstory that is funny, but super, like the potential to be super serious sad as well.
Well, that's it.
I was buying into the more empathy side of that. Like, oh, what a tragic backstory.
Exactly. And that's the sort of backstory that when you present it to your dungeon master, because you would have presented it to your dungeon master in advance of starting the campaign, they can then take elements of that and work that into the story to build this immersive world for you.
He might have been unbearable.
But I still love your jokes. Yeah, because my character's backstory is that he was...
drunken priest.
Not too far off, in all fairness. He's a monk, but he had to go into monkhood because he was like from a very famous family of warriors. But he decided to just use the fame of and to not go be a warrior, and instead just be a drunken lout.
I'm worried that's what's going to happen to my kids.
Yeah, they're just going to live off the Davis name.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Zappa's
kids. Famous warrior background.
Yeah.
Warrior in, like, I'm worried I left the oven on. I'm worried I didn't close the door. I'm worried I've left all the windows open. I'm worried the studio's going to burn down.
Yep.
That kind
that's
of warrior.
Kind of thing. Would you like an email from, and I'm going to butcher this name now, Rakan Suidan, Soueidan.
I mean, I would like that, but I'm also quite on the edge of my seat about the Patreon poll.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, totally. So this will have changed by the time this podcast goes out, because there's 2 days of us between us recording this and actually going live.
When are you
going
to close the poll?
It closes on Sunday. So you may recall yesterday there was only 4% in it.
Yeah.
There was between SummerSlam 2000, which was leading the way.
My favourite pay-per-view ever.
And SummerSlam 2010, which is the pay-per-view that nearly made you quit watching wrestling. And I said, there's only 4% in it. The tides have changed.
Oh, Jesus.
SummerSlam 2000 has 31%. SummerSlam 2010 now has 36%. It's had a late surge in votes. And people are starting to push it towards 2010.
Now, I remember the polls. I remember the polls before the Trump-Clinton thing and the Brexit. It was all over. No, pollers don't know anything. They don't know anything until the final results come in.
So there is still a chance. I mean,
come on, people. SummerSlam 2000.
I was thinking about this. I was like, would it be fun to rewatch 2010? And then I thought, no. I don't think it
would,
to be honest.
Sad.
Because not only, like, aside from the fact there is that, like, you know, 10-man tag or whatever it was, like the 14-man tag or whatever it was to end the show, there's nothing else on that card that's worth talking about. No, do you know one of the matches is Sheamus versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship?
When Sheamus was
like, who,
champion.
Like, I couldn't tell you who was champion. I couldn't tell you who won. I couldn't tell you anything about that match because who could possibly care?
Whoa.
What, you seen this?
Well, I've just gotten up the card. SummerSlam had 7 matches on.
Well, that's because the main event went like an hour.
Yeah, well, 35 minutes, but I guess with
Is it really only 35 minutes? Oh, I suppose, yeah, with
entrances
yeah.
Be about
and you've got all the gubbins as well with John Cena going like, the 7th man is Daniel Bryan. And you have the big Daniel Bryan return.
So do you want to hear
spoilers.
This? Evan Bourne.
Can I predict that one of the matches is Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz? Or Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston?
It's, yep, it's
yes,
Ziggler versus
it. Yes,
Kofi Kingston
it.
For the IC title. Blimey.
I mean,
that was 8 years ago.
I bet you that's one of the standout matches of their entire run. It's
went
the one,
7
it's
minutes.
The, it's the one that everyone talks about between of that like best of 5,000 series that they had.
Oh, good grief. Randy Orton versus Sheamus went 20 minutes.
You are kidding me. 20 minutes. Oh, this show sounds awful.
Kane versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh, dearie me. That's not even like the May 19th
oh,
stuff.
Oh, my God. Melina versus Alicia Fox.
No! Is it that one?
5 minutes 20.
Dan suggested this with like, it's got Daniel Bryan's amazing return. A, return was not amazing. B, not a reason to watch a pay-per-view.
And it was Big Show. Oh my God. Big Show defeats all 3 members of the Straight Edge Society. Joey Mercury, Luke Gallows, and CM Punk.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're making my head hurt. Okay, right, what's going to happen now is people are going to be like, oh, it's funny hearing them all depressed. I want them to review that. Okay, but let's just look at the card for SummerSlam 2000 to equal this out.
I can already tell you something, the first TLC match.
The first ever TLC match.
Between
Right to Censor versus Too Cool.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, mate. I'll have some of that.
X-Pac versus Road Dogg. Eddie Guerrero and China beating Trish Stratus and Val Venus.
Oh, I remember that being quite a good match, actually.
Jerry Lawler versus Taz.
it was when Taz was making fun of JR because he smashed a window with JR. He's like, oh, I'm blind, JR.
No, it was the
sweet jar.
The sweet jar.
That was the other one, yeah.
Oh, was that the other one? That wasn't this one.
This might be the one where Raven debuts for the WWF, or that might be the pay-per-view after because they do the match the second time.
So we did Benoit versus Jericho in, what was the 2000? Vengeance something.
Oh, which one was it? Judgment Day? No.
Maybe. It was after WrestleMania and it was before this and they had like a series of matches. But yeah, Benoit versus Jericho in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Steve Blackman versus Shane McMahon in a hardcore match. The first ever spot when Shane did his fall off the Titantron.
It wasn't the first one, but it was one of the biggest ones. He'd done it with Big Show as well.
That was later.
Was that later?
That was later.
But this one I remember the most because this one where he takes a massive fall.
Yeah, The Cat versus Terry.
Well, let's not go too far on the excitement levels.
Kane versus Undertaker. And
oh, that's the one where Taker like rips off part of his mask. I don't think that match ends.
Yeah, no contest.
Yeah.
To go back to Kat versus Terry, that was a stink face match.
Yes, mate.
And Al Snow and Perry Saturn are in the respective corners. Of course, the TLC, the first ever one between Edge Christian, Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys, and the Triple Threat main event of The Rock taking on Triple H and Kurt Angle as the culmination for the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle love triangle that Triple H squashed.
I was going to say, it was the culmination where they're fighting over the main prize in the company, Stephanie McMahon. And The Rock is very much the third wheel in this match, along with his WWF Championship, which just does not seem important.
But hey, this was like the biggest thing ever to me as a kid.
And also,
that storyline.
And that match is incredible as well, because that's the one where Kurt Angle suffers a concussion within like the first, like, 2 minutes of the match and like is unable to wrestle, and everything they had planned out had to be scrapped, and Rock and Triple H just had to call the whole thing on the fly. And if memory serves, it's been a few years since I've seen it, but I think you can almost see how Triple H is leading the match.
Yeah,
and it's just like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, and Rock is just following along.
And when Angle comes back out for the finish, I remember an interview where he said Triple H was just going, now you do this,
yeah,
now you do that,
yeah.
So just like, yeah, I mean, we crap on Triple H a lot, but man,
he's
a pro.
What an in-ring general he can be.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's have this bit of correspondence before we get out of here. This, as I said previously, it's from Raycon Sudan, I'm going to go with. Hello, Luke, not Ollie. Since you and Ollie have been regaling WrestleTalk audiences with stories about the agony art and wrestling-related romances, I thought I would share how I met my current girlfriend under rather nerdy circumstances.
Nice.
So he has called this, and you know, let's see if you want to agree with this, quite possibly the nerdiest relationship origin story.
I mean, but you and your lady partner met on the set of a horror film that
science,
you were
science,
making?
Science fiction.
Okay,
thank you
so
much.
It's got it. Yeah, you've got competition already there, man. We can't pronounce the name of.
Let me just read you this first sentence.
Okay.
A few months ago, I was hosting a 10-year anniversary screening in Vancouver, Canada, of an extremely low-budget Star Trek fan film.
Okay, yep, okay, yep. carry on. Engage.
Finish. That I made with some friends back in my early 20s.
Oh, wow.
And he has sent us a link to it as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Which I think we're going to watch when we leave and we get out of recording this. Before the film started, a friend introduced me to a woman I thought was really cute who ends up making quite an impression on me. We chatted more the next day, and it turned out that in addition of her love of Star Trek, she's also a big wrestling fan. In fact, she even performs sporadically in a women's wrestling league known as Anacondo, a real estate developer / snake woman.
Oh,
please
that's
see
great.
Attached image, which is pretty much the perfect gimmick in Vancouver given the city's drastic housing shortage. I love that. That's such a niche reference to the area that you're wrestling in.
Yeah.
Love that.
I mean, it's already signed to the crap gimmick roster.
I invited her out to an indie wrestling show that weekend and we immediately hit it off. She's an incredibly kind, sweet woman, and the past few months have been memorable to say the least.
This is a recent romance.
I'm not one of fairy tale endings, but a lot of my friends are already describing her as my perfect match. But will it be an Iron Man? I sure hope so. Whichever way the story ends, I'm thrilled the follies of my youth led me towards Anacondo. Thanks for all your hard work and amazing content each and every week, and a warm welcome to Elfakedor Laurie Blake. Best regards, Rakan Sudan. So yeah, he sent us an image of Anacondo. There she is, the real estate lady.
Fantastic.
/ snake lady.
So she's actually dressed up like a snake. It was wearing
A blazer.
Like a blazer. Because what I thought...
And she's got a binder, which I'd imagine has got lots of properties in there.
Yeah, or snakes. I thought it would be a sort of a real estate person.
Yeah.
What are they called? A real estate agent.
Yeah.
We call them
a realtor.
Here. Yeah. But also they do the snake dancing gimmick where they have an actual snake, Jake the Snake style.
Yeah. No, this
but
is
no,
so much
no,
better.
She's dressed up like a snake.
What you can't see as well, because I can see them a bit closer, she's wearing contact lenses as well to give her like snake eyes.
Brilliant.
So good. Thank you very much for that email. That really put a smile on my face.
And we wish you all the best in your nerdy life together.
Totally, hopefully. Right? Like it's bound to work out. They both love Star Trek and wrestling.
They should, like, she should listen to this. But so why isn't she listening to this?
Hey, maybe he's going to, like, give her this to listen to. He'd be like, look at this lovely, you know, just put it on the background. Just be like, oh, can I just quickly listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
While I'm doing the dishes or what have you. And then she's going to be, like, doing the dishes or maybe cooking some dinner. Maybe just,
oh, my God, that's
oh
us.
Oh, my God, that's yeah. us. Yeah. Or, you know, probably she's probably way cooler than what we're
or
making.
Or like right. this. Speaking in Slytherin snake tongue.
Would you like a property?
Yeah.
You know, because I'd imagine that's just what they talk like in, you know, people get so into their gimmicks, they live the gimmick, brother.
Yeah, but just put A at the end because
they're Canada. So yeah, we are going to watch your fan, your Star Trek fan film as well. Maybe we'll review that on next week's show.
Yeah.
But that is all we've got time for this Saturday edition of the Wrestle Ramble. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back again later on today with our World of Sport thought so. I'd love to...
WOS
Sorry,
Wrestling.
Yes, WOS Wrestling Thoughts. Thank you very much. I misspoke. So do give that a listen. And we'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review, where Brock Lesnar is going to be on the show.
Let's not get too excited.
Well, we think he's on the show. He's advertised for the show.
That hasn't stopped them before.
That hasn't stopped them before, but it'll be the first time he's been on TV since the Greatest Royal Rumble, which, I'll be honest, feels like a lifetime ago. I could have almost sworn it was last year. But that's all we've got time for this episode. We'll see you on Tuesday. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.